Wow, I don't know about you, but I feel seasick just watching that. When a storm is raging, one place I'd never want to be is on a boat. I tried to remember if I had any stories of being in that situation. I really genuinely don't think I do, and I'm quite pleased about that. You know how water can almost seem to stand up on end like that is really, really beyond me. And you know, one day Jesus and his disciples experienced a severe storm. And many of the disciples were fishermen. They would have been used to sailing. They must have been in storms before. And yet this storm is recorded in 3 out of 4 of the Gospels, in Matthew, Mark, and in Luke. So it must have been pretty significant, the events that took place that day. So let's read the story together. Mark 4, verse 35 to 41. That day, when evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Be quiet, be still." Then the wind died down and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." So it was evening time, and it was the end of a long day of teaching for Jesus. Why did he suggest sailing out across the sea? Maybe it was the only way that he had to get a break from the crowds. Maybe it was in preparation for tomorrow's mission. See, he had a man with unclean spirits waiting for him to come and deliver him on the other side of the sea. Whatever the reason, we need to remember that Jesus, although fully divine, was also fully human, and so he would have experienced tiredness after the end of a long day in the same way that we would. Also, Jesus was already in the boat. He'd moved into the boat earlier that day to give himself a little bit of space to be able to teach the crowds that were gathered on the shore. And I kind of had this picture in my mind of the disciples sort of coming in and saying, "Right, guys, everybody, enough's enough now. We're going to get going, and you know, we're done for today," and starting to cast off, ready to sail, while Jesus is still kind of in situ, maybe even still teaching. But they've got to leave for the other side. So note this: Jesus is already in the boat before the storm erupts. Yet even on the water, Jesus still can't get completely free of the crowds, because Mark tells us that there are other boats travelling across the water with him. And the sea that they were on is the Sea of Galilee, and the Sea of Galilee is actually a lake, and it's prone to sudden and violent storms. This is because it's situated several hundreds of feet below sea level, and yet it's surrounded by hills and mountains 2,000 feet high. And that great differential creates big differences in air temperature and pressure, and that can cause sudden and violent winds to develop. So that evening, as Jesus and his disciples and the other boats begin to set out across this sea, they become part of its latest storm surge. And when Matthew writes his gospel, he uses the term sea quake. So it must have felt almost like an earthquake was going on underneath the water. Such was the ferocity of this particular storm. The fishing boats at the time had very, very low sides, and so very quickly the water would have started to come in and the boat threatens to be overwhelmed. It was a very scary situation. And Jesus has spent all day teaching about the kingdom of God and how amazing it is. And yet it seems when the real need arises, when lives are really at stake, where is he? Well, that's simple. Jesus is asleep. The Word made flesh, the image of the invisible God, the light of the world, was asleep. How he was asleep with all that going on is anyone's guess, but he was asleep. He was asleep on a pillow. And the pillow in the stern of the boat traditionally belonged to the helmsman. The helmsman is the one who navigates, who steers the ship. By sleeping on the helmsman's pillow, is Jesus trying to send the disciples a message? Is he trying to show them that he's the one who is in charge here? He is in control. He is steering and navigating the ship. If this is the case, then the disciples clearly miss the point. Jesus is asleep, but not for long. The disciples panicked. They'd seen storms before, but this must have been really exceptional. And with Jesus asleep, they assumed that things were then up to them. They knew they were powerless against the storm, but who else to turn to? So they woke Jesus up. They woke Jesus up with a big assumption. Matthew and Luke in their Gospels record saying, "We're going to drown." Mark records something slightly different, saying, "Don't you care if we drown?" There's some different issues here. For Matthew and Luke, there seems to be a doubt of Jesus' ability to do anything about the storm. "We're going to drown" is a statement of fact. It's going to happen. Wake up, Jesus. For Mark, there's a subtle difference. "Don't you care if we drown" seems to indicate that he believes Jesus could do something if only he would stay awake long enough to do it. Jesus's lack of action clearly for Mark shows a lack of care. And it seems maybe Matthew and Luke doubt Jesus' ability while Mark doubts his willingness to help. So let's think about that for a while. How does this relate to our lives? How does this all impact on us? First, I'm sure that we all go through storms. Some of you may be in a storm right now, maybe a financial storm, possibly created by COVID-19. Maybe you're in a health storm. Perhaps it's a relationship that's going through a stormy period. And if you are a Christian and you have Jesus in your life, then you need to know and remind yourself that Jesus was in your boat even before the storm blew up. And when we go through storms, we're not suddenly reaching out to him to come and join us and help. He is already there. How often do we pray, "Jesus, come and be with me in this situation," when really we should be praying from the perspective that Jesus is already with us in our boat during the storm? The second point to note, storms will come along. Being a disciple of Jesus didn't change the nature of sailing, and being a follower of Jesus doesn't exempt us from the storms of life. Thirdly, in the same way that there were other boats on the Sea of Galilee on the day of the storm, there are always other people around the circumference of our lives that will be part of the storm that you're in too. None of us are so isolated or independent that our lives have no impact on others. Fourthly, sometimes it seems as though Jesus is asleep when you're going through your deepest and most frightening storm. And finally, you may not consider yourself a Christian today, and maybe you're in a storm too. And you think, "Well, where is Jesus in my storm?" Let's stop for a moment and let's think and let's reflect. Where are you in this story today? Are you in a storm right now? Who else in your life is being impacted by your storm? Is Jesus already in your boat? Or do you need to invite him aboard?
What are you afraid of? Is it the uncertainty? The desperation? Hopelessness? Is it fear itself?
Global outbreak of coronavirus?
An ancient book once said, "Perfect love drives out fear." And what greater love is there than a loving God reaching out to us in our pain, in our brokenness, to leave the fear behind. It's time to choose Jesus.
So what happens next? Well, the disciples wake Jesus up. Note this, the disciples wake him up. The raging storm, the howling winds didn't wake him, but his followers did. Jesus must have been choosing carefully what he was listening to. Not the waves or the storm. To Jesus, they were all noise and no power. But his disciples, his followers, his friends. And there he was awake. And Jesus rebukes the wind and the waves. He does what? Rebuke? Rebuke means to strongly criticise someone because you disapprove of what that person has said or done. You don't normally rebuke a thing. But what Jesus is doing is strongly speaking against the wind and the waves because, well, quite frankly, he disapproves of the fact that they're disturbing his night's kip. Wind, waves, you know what? I don't like what you're doing right now. You're shaking this boat around. You're keeping me from my sleep. You're causing distress and anxiety to my friends. Wind and waves, you better stop doing this thing right now. Stop. Be peaceful. Be still. Stay still. And in, from the words of the Creator, nature was still. There was a great calm. Psalm 65, verse 5 to 8. You answer us with awesome and righteous deeds, God our Saviour, the hope of all the ends of the earth and of the farthest seas, who formed the mountains by your power, having armed yourself with strength, who stilled the roaring of the seas, the roaring of their waves and the turmoil of the nations. In Psalm 89, verse 8 and 9, who is like you, Lord God Almighty? You, Lord, are mighty and your faithfulness surrounds you. You rule over the surging sea. When its waves mount up, you still them. So Jesus calms the storm. And there's two things to notice here. Firstly, the Psalms that we've just read tell us that God, the Lord Almighty, is the one who calms storms. That's the understanding the disciples would have had. But now they've seen Jesus do exactly what they believe that only God Almighty can do. What's going on? What does this tell them about Jesus and who he is? Could he be the one? Could he be the Christ? Could he be the Messiah? Secondly, there were other boats on the sea that day, boats that did not have Jesus, the Son of God, asleep in them. Boats that would have had sailors in them who would have been afraid and yet would have had no one to turn to. And when Jesus calmed the storm for the disciples, he calmed the storm for them too. You see, life isn't a them and us in that sense. It's not, well, we're Christians, so God's on our side and other people aren't. You know, some storms fall on Christians and non-Christians alike. Cancer doesn't differentiate. Redundancy doesn't differentiate. Grief and loss don't differentiate. Yet at times when we allow God to calm the storms in our lives, the impact will go beyond our lives and impact the lives of those around us. When Jesus calms our storm and brings us peace, the impact will be felt by others. So Jesus calms the storm, all is still. But it's not over yet. There's a question to be answered. Why are you afraid? Where is your faith? You know, when God allows us to go through storms in our lives, he does so for a reason, and we're his disciples, and we have to be lifelong learners. He wants us to learn and to develop and grow. So after the storm, there's a question to be answered. Why were you afraid? Why was I afraid? Well, Jesus, you see, there was this storm and the waves were crashing over my boat and there was a possibility of drowning. And Jesus says, but I was in the boat with you. Why didn't that make a difference? Why didn't you trust the Jesus that lives inside you? It's a challenging question, isn't it? it is. Why do we get so afraid in the storms of life when Jesus is in our boat? Yeah, we're all on a journey. The disciples were on a journey. The story comes pretty early on still in their relationship with Jesus. So when they looked around at each other in amazement at what has just happened, what kind of man is this? He just shut the wind and waves right up. The realization of who they were actually dealing with was beginning to dawn on them. And this led them to become terrified in a completely different way, a different kind of fear. Who is this Jesus? Even nature takes notice of him. Has the realization of who Jesus is in your life really, truly and deeply dawned on you? You know, a few moments ago I invited you to stop and to reflect on where you are in this story. Maybe you relate to being a disciple. In a storm, Jesus is in your boat, but it kind of feels like he's asleep. Maybe you're not in a storm, maybe life has been pretty calm so far, but listen up. At some point a storm will come. How will you react? Maybe you've recently been through a storm and you're kind of reflecting on how it went. What did you learn? Did you trust God? Is your faith stronger now as a result of what you've just been through? Have you gained more of a realization of who Jesus is in your life, who Jesus is in your boat? Maybe you honestly say that actually I've never invited Jesus in. Maybe you've seen the impact it had on others and you want to invite him aboard. So where are you and how does this story relate to you right now? Let's just stop. Let's just reflect. Let's listen. If you're a Christian today and the Holy Spirit lives inside of you, allow him to speak to you about where you're at. And if you don't know Jesus and you want to start talking to God and inviting him into your life and tell him where you're at, tell him how you're feeling, talk to him about the storm that you're experiencing right now. He wants to listen. He wants to know how you feel. Maybe you need to respond to Jesus today. Maybe you need to invite him in for the first time. And I'd encourage you, if that's the case, just to click the request prayer button and you can chat to one of the pastors then privately and we can tell you more about how to invite Jesus into your life and we can pray with you. If not, you can still request prayer if you are a Christian and you're going through a storm today. Why not do that and allow us to pray for you? Or maybe if you're confident, you can write something in the chat and the other people in the church will kind of gather around you sort of virtually and pray with you today. So wherever you're at, let's pray together. God, we thank you that you know about the storms in our lives. Jesus, we thank you that you are already with us even before the storms begin. You're in our boat, God. And Father, we thank you that even if it seems like you're asleep, it seems like you don't seem to be doing anything, it seems as if you're not listening, God, and yet you sleep on the pillar of the helmsman. You are navigating, you are steering the ship, and we do not need to be afraid. So I just want to pray this morning against any fear that is going on in people's lives right now as a result of things that are going on, the storms of life. I just want to pray against fear of financial hardship. I want to pray against fear of disease, fear of COVID-19, fear of relationship breakdown. Father, set people free from fear today, I pray. And as we think about where we are in that story, Father, I just know that we will know the presence of Jesus in our boat, that perfect love will drive away our fear, and that we will know that you will bring us safely through. You are the helmsman, you are the navigator. You will bring us safely through to the other side, and God, for the people around us who are also involved in these storms, God. I pray that as you calm the storm in our lives, they will see the impact of that, that you will calm the storm in their lives too. Thank you, Jesus, for your presence. Thank you for your power that overcomes storms, your power that can calm the storm, your power that can say, peace, be still, and stay still. We have so much to thank you for, Jesus. We are so grateful. Amen.